Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte. Careful making wishes in a doctor, can't be sure when it hit that rock and the sides in the meantime. I'm just dreaming of tearing you apart.
That is hammered out to deep left field. Forget about it. Big fly for Mike Trout and the Angels have tied.
Hey, I'm Trent Rush.
This is Brandon Marsh for Los Angeles Angels and 66ers Baseball.
This is Joe Adell here with the Los Angeles Angels.
I'm Troy Hunter Jr.
You're listening to the All Angels Podcast.
What is up? It is your boy, Johnny Mags, joined as always with
Daniel Garcia.
And with
Chris, the curator, Johnson.
And you're listening to another edition of the All Angels Podcast. We're back again. Seems like we were just here. We were Sunday. But there was no game.
Yeah.
So, you know.
But the funny part is, though, you know, we're all here. I don't know how you start your week. You start your week on Saturday or you start your week on or a Monday or Sunday. But either way, it's like we get everyone together twice this week. It's a rare occasion.
Yeah, man. We got
Chris
the
here
presence of the producer to the stars.
Oh, and he got a shout out on one of the emails later today. So he said last episode to tell him when it happens, and we got one today.
Yeah, man. The audience clamors for the curator. Ooh.
Yeah, there you go.
Kind of rhymed a little bit. So just two games to review this week. Not much happening. Identical games, pretty much.
Right.
Ended in the same score. So let's quickly review those two games, and we'll get to the elephant in the room, the trades that went down.
Trade deadline, yep.
So we'll talk about Sunday's game. We were recording on Sunday when the Angels were playing a game against the M's. The Angels had won the first two games and actually had won that Saturday 16-4, but I guess they used up all their runs because...
Yeah, I was joking with a friend. It's too bad they couldn't use like an aggregate score like they do in soccer.
Yeah.
Because it would have been like 21-5
oh, they would have won the series.
Or something like that.
Yeah, so it was a Griffin Canning start. Bright spot was Griffin Canning in this one because he went 8 innings, gave up 4 hits, only 1 run, a walk, and 7 strikeouts. This game was, dominated by pitching the whole game pretty much.
Yeah, we were recording while the game was going on. It got to a point when we got done with the recording, I think it was like the 7th inning or 8th inning, I think the score was still like 1-1 or 1-0, but the fact that Canning was still out there and the fact that the game was still close, I think surprised both of us.
Yeah, it was 0-0 into the 7th when Seattle got on the board, and then the Angels answered right back in the bottom half of that 7th inning, and then the M's would eventually win this game in extra innings when the ghost run, I think call him the ghost runner on second, scores on a single. So... Man, the Angels continue to struggle in extra inning games.
Yeah, that makes it 1-for-5 this year with extra innings. And the funny part, and a lot of people, I guess, liked the idea when Joe came in. He said he's bringing back small ball, and he was in a bunt, and he was going to move guys
no
over.
No one remembers how to bunt.
Yeah,
no one knows how to bunt now.
That's the deal. Like, Rahifo did come up right away, and he tried to put a bunt down, I know once, maybe twice. But either way, he missed, and now the count's 0-2. Now you kind of have to let him swing. And, obviously it didn't work out because they didn't score a run. But it's great to say that you want to bring something back, but if no one knows how to do it, it's just one of those things that sounds great, but when you put it like into actual action, I don't think this team can play that small ball, at least not yet.
Yeah, you have to have the right pieces to do it. You have to have guys that know how to bunt and know situations and know how to where to, and not even just know how to bunt, but know where to lay it down. And this is definitely a situation where you wanted to move the guy to third because now you have the next guy that comes up can hit a fly ball or a deep ball into the in the infield and scores a run from home, from third. Otherwise,
right? And, and two, I mean, the team wasn't really hitting all day, so you kind of had a feeling that you're going to have to move that guy over somehow to productive, have a productive out, and probably, like you mentioned, another productive out. But, you know, the Angels only had five hits, and two of those came from Albert. So, you know, the team was just struggling that whole day. And when it came to the extra innings, you know, the Mariners were able to you know, put forth a game plan and move the guy over and get the guy home, and the Angels just weren't able to do it.
Absolutely. So they lose this one 2-1. Angels up 2-1 in the series up to that point. So then they played on Monday, and Jaime Barría got the start. I'm glad I saw Jaime and not Suarez.
Right, and that was the thing, too, because if you remembered last week, they actually pitched on the same day.
Right.
Suarez was the starter, got lit up, and Jaime came in. 7-inning game, so I think he only pitched, what, 5 innings?
Like 5 or 4 2/3 or something.
Yeah,
like that.
So, and he did really well, so right. It was good to see how he was going to do this time around, and this was his first start. Not his first appearance, but his first start of the year.
This wasn't a bad game for him. I wish I would have seen him go a little longer, but I mean, I think it's progression.
He was on a pitch count.
4 1/3, 5 hits, 1 earned run, 2 walks, 3 strikeouts. The Angels took the lead in the second, and then in the third, it would be tied until like the 6th or 7th inning when the M's would take a 2-1 lead, and then that was it, because the offense did not show up.
Only 4 hits, and then, like you mentioned, the only run the Angels got was off Upton home run.
Yeah,
but yeah, Jaime only pitched 71, and they kind of 71 pitches. So they said coming in that he was limited, and Matt Andrees came in, gave up a home run almost right away, and then after that, the bullpen settled down and again put up zeros the rest of the way through. So I guess in that way, you know, that's a good sign, the pitching aspect of it. And two, you know, this was the trade deadline. This Monday was a trade deadline. There was a lot of shuffling going on. There was guys that weren't planning to play that played. There was guys that were planning to play a different position, had to switch that up. So I don't know if that had anything to do with it, or the fact that they lost another one of their buddies to another team, if that had anything to play with it. But, yeah, it was kind of crazy to see the outburst the Angels had on Saturday night, and then they come play Sunday, Monday, and then just kind of completely just kind of not do anything offensively at all. I mean,
yeah, you know, 2 runs in the last 2 games.
2 runs and 9 hits and 2 games. I don't care who you play, you're not going to win a ton of games like that. But, I mean, I guess the bright side, trying to be captain positive here, the pitching did really well these last 2 games. You know, obviously Canning, I think what they say, this is the first time. Well, not the first time, but well, I think it was the second time then, because obviously Bundy threw a complete game, but this is probably the second time that an Angels pitcher went 8 innings.
Yeah, it's almost like unheard of for anyone to get into the 8th, let alone pitch through 8 innings. So good to see Canning go that deep into a game. Was in command.
Looking forward to see what he can do his next time out. And something else that happened this Sunday game that the Angels are still kind of feeling the repercussions from is the David Fletcher looked like he sprained an ankle running through first. I mean, stop me when this sounds familiar. Not on the IL. This has been, they've been like, what, 3 days, 4 days now since it happened. No IL stint. Still considered day-to-day as we record. The Wednesday game has started. Not in the lineup for Wednesday, so hopefully Thursday, Friday, sometime during the weekend, that we're able to see Fletcher out there again, because, you know, he is a spark plug. He is a guy that gets on base, and maybe, I don't want to say that Saturday or Sunday would have been different if he stayed in the whole game, because the injury did happen relatively early.
Right.
But, you never know. Maybe he's able to get a bunt down or something, because I believe Renhefo came in for Fletcher, and if Fletcher's in that 10th inning trying to bunt, maybe he does get down, maybe he doesn't, maybe the same thing happens, I don't know. But yeah, it's just interesting to see that.
So with Fletcher kind of being not on the IL but not playing right now, the Angels activated Franklin Barreto, a guy that they picked up from in the trade for
today,
La Stella. So he's active, and you know, segueing in here, trades went down. Let's talk about the first trade that happened. Was Jason Castro to the Padres for right-handed pitcher Gerardo Reyes.
Yeah, so, I mean, we talked about the La Stella Franklin trade Sunday.
On the Sunday podcast.
Check that one out again. We had Martin Gallegos from the from MLB.com that covers the A's talk about it. So, so we kind of talked about that. So now moving forward, Castro, the whispers with Castro was going on all day Sunday, and I don't think it actually happened until Monday morning was official. But, so they got he goes to San Diego, and as we record, he's actually in the lineup
yeah,
again, with San Diego. But Gerard Reyes, a 27-year-old, so kind of older, but he does have a high velocity, 97 miles per hour.
That's good.
You know, only 26 innings in 2019, which was his only major league time. So obviously the control thing comes into play there. But when you look back at his games, it seems like he has a bunch of zeros and then like or zero runs, and then he has like a 3-run game in there, then like two or three zeros, and then like a 2-run game. So it does, just kind of looking at what he's done game log wise last year, it does seem like he's a very up and down reliever. But obviously the Angels saw something they liked in him to get to come over and help the bullpen. Probably not this year, because again,
no.
He came over and got optioned right away down to Long Beach, but maybe next year or I would guess next year, because he's, like I said, he's 27. So
yeah, no, and it stands out to me, he's 26 innings pitched, 38 Ks, so that's a high strikeout
guy.
Yeah,
he did have a lot of strikeout to inning kind of ratio.
26 to 38, I mean, that's 38 Ks in 26 innings, that's no joke, so that's more than a strikeout per inning. So I saw a clip of him just completely come in and shut down some team in like nine straight pitches, so the velocity's there. He went 4-0, you can take that for what it's worth.
Right.
But, Jason Castro was a guy that the Angels picked up on a one-year deal, was going to walk away probably at the end of the season. Why not go ahead and get somebody with some upside?
And Castro was signed with the idea of a full season. Like,
right,
if he had
exactly.
a full season,
yeah.
he might have worked his way into getting some kind of extension. But when the 30-game season, you're just not sure what you're going to get. And with that, I just don't know if they felt comfortable extending, because Stassi actually, before he went to the IL, did a lot better. Ben Boom hasn't done bad since the time he has been out there. So Castro did seem like a guy to trade. So I think it worked out. We'll get kind of into our personal who won what trade or whatever later. But yeah, that was like the first domino to fall.
Yeah, and then following that on Monday, during Monday's game,
and this is the one that caused a lot of shuffling
right.
in the lineup on
right.
Monday.
So Monday, Brian Goodwin ended up getting traded to the Reds for left-handed pitcher Packy Naughton and cash considerations or player to be named later. But Brian Goodwin is actually in the lineup on Monday, last-minute scratch. Again, Brian Goodwin, now this one, not that it surprised me, but Brian Goodwin's a guy that's not eligible for free agency until 2023, so that's a guy that they had under team control, but decided to part ways with him because I think, obviously the Angels' depth is in the outfield
right.
with Joe Adell
you
being the future, Brandon
knew
Marsh.
Someone would be moved.
Upton.
Right. I mean, so. Obviously Upton, people have their opinion.
He ain't going nowhere.
He ain't going anywhere. And then I guess for the good thing about Upton, he has seen to be improving little by little the last week or so. I mean, like Monday, he's only got a score to run. He hit a home run. He had like a multi-hit. He had like a three-hit game on Friday or Saturday.
Yeah.
So again, maybe he's turning the corner and getting into again. Maybe it took him a while to get into baseball shape. I mean, what are we at, like 40 games now or whatever?
Right.
So he bounces. Good one, Detroit. Good one to Cincinnati. We get Packy. How do you say his last name?
Naughton.
Left-handed pitcher.
We got Naughton.
Left-handed pitcher. He's 24 years old, and I think right. that's a real cool thing. He's another young pitcher, has yet to make an MLB debut, so he has a fresh clock.
Right.
You're not looking at a guy that's only going to be on the team for 1 or 2 years. This guy is, if everything pans out, he can be in rotation at some level for a long time. He was the number 14 prospect by MLB.com in the Cincinnati organization. I don't know necessarily if they transferred him over to the Angels yet and see where he ranks there. But again, a guy that was top 15 in the Cincinnati minor league system now comes over with the Angels. And again, a guy that's not going to have an impact this year, but could very easily be competing for some kind of fourth, fifth spot next year. And also, like you mentioned, a player to be named later. Jeff Fletcher from the OC Register did say that he has heard that is also going to be a pitcher. But
right. okay.
what teams are doing during the trade deadline is, because technically you can only trade for guys that are on your 60-man player pool. So if you want to get a guy that's not in there, you kind of say, hey, it's a player to be named later. So after the season, when those other players are now eligible to be traded, you'll probably get another minor league pitcher there. No names have come out, but again, Jeff Fletcher from the OC Register has said that it is more than likely going to be another pitcher. So when you look at all the trades together, three guys get traded, LaStella, Castro, and Goodwin. You get three pitchers, one in the bullpen, and one starter and one we don't know yet, and a in middle infielder guy that, you know, could have a lot of upside, could bomb out, but, you know, does have that upside connected to him.
Yeah, and, you know, with these deals, none of these deals were going to be blockbuster.
They weren't going to be the Clevinger trade to San Diego that we're going to see tomorrow.
So, you know, these trades, I think, work out. You know, we'll talk about it. I think we have a couple questions regarding that. We'll talk about that. So, obviously, the Angels were willing to part with these deals, especially the guys who were on, you know, still the last year of his contract, Jason Castro on a one-year deal. So, they were willing to part, and 2020 kind of just ruined everything for everybody. So, right. even the Angels, who, like you said, Jason Castro, they were looking for a full season out of him. And Brian Goodwin was the guy that was going to fill in till Joe Adell was ready. And, you know, Joe might not be ready, but he's getting playing time
now. He's
going
to be out there. Yeah.
So that's what has to happen. So, you know, we'll talk about the trades in general.
Interesting part, too, is that they moved Goodwin. They don't have a third outfielder fourth outfielder on the roster.
Well, technically, it's Fletcher, but he's hurt right now.
Yeah.
So
just like in the game we're talking about, Castro gets scratched.
Right.
But he's still technically in the lineup. So if you figure Fletcher or Castro is going to get traded at some point, so I mean, Anthony Benboom is now starting. If anything happens to Benboom coming into the game, Fletcher is your emergency catcher.
Right.
Fletcher leaves in the first or second inning, and now you don't have an emergency catcher. So the funny part, Benboom got got hit with a foul ball late in the game, and he had to tough it out. I feel they have no one else.
Do they have anybody else right now? Did they call anybody else?
Yeah, Jose
Briseño.
Briseño, I think, is now active
active roster
right now. Until again, Stassi comes back. Stassi. They said he's getting closer. So we'll see. Maybe this weekend, maybe in the next couple of days, activate him, and then you have Benboom and Stassi as your catchers. Again, for this year, I think that works out just fine.
Yeah, no, it is what it is. You throw anybody out there, right? Yeah. I think Chris will throw on the gear and catch for the Angels.
Do it.
He had to. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then when we come back, we'll get into the Curator's Chronicles.
Yeah.
And then we'll get into the emails, and we'll talk a little bit more about the trades and our feelings about how everything went down. So we will take a quick commercial break, and we'll catch you on the other side of this break. Boo! Those are the screams I used to make when I would cut myself shaving before I knew about Manscaped. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Manscaped, for turning my loud shrieks here into multiple peaks. Yeah, cream of the crop. Men start taking notes because Manscaped accidents are finally a thing of the past. Oh, yeah. Manscaped Lawnmower 3.0 has been beautifully designed to reduce painful nicks and tugs. Yeah, those nicks and tugs are gone. This is their third generation trimmer featuring advanced skin-safe technology. Oh, yeah. Technology so you keep your bad boys nice and smooth. Yeah, nice and smooth. Yeah, that's right. And Manscaped engineering team obsessed over technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. They spent 18 months perfecting that great ball hair trimmer ever created. The just released new and improved Lawnmower 3.0. Yeah, the cream of the crop. Yeah, too sweet to be sour. Yeah. When I tell you this is premium, I mean premium. The battery will last you 90 minutes so you can take longer shave. And that water-resistant technology allows you to shave in the shower, too. Oh, yeah, in the shower after that long match. Uh-huh, yeah. One of the coolest features is an LED light that illuminates grooming areas for a closer, more precise trimming. So many people have written in stories about the Lawnmower 3.0 and have sent your man here, yeah. Sent them pictures so I could see the smoothness for myself. And I'll tell you something, man, they ain't kidding. This is the cream of the crop. Yeah, oh, God. Oh, yeah. You need to try this out for yourself. Get 20% off plus free shipping when you use armchair at manscaped.com. That's 20% off when you use armchair at manscaped.com. Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's up? Johnny Catfish here, ambassador for Groom Goon Beard and Body Care. Are you tired of your beard feeling rough and not so fresh? Do yourself a favor and do what I did and check out www.groomgoon.com. Groom Goon carries a variety of beard oils and beard and body soaps that will leave your beard feeling soft and smelling great all day long. Don't just take my word for it. Go check it out for yourself. Again, that's www.groomgoon.com. And at checkout, use discount code CATFISHTHEGOON, all one word, CATFISHTHEGOON, and receive 15% off your purchase. Why choose Groom Goon? Well, because your beard deserves it.
Hood Vicious, listen to my show, The Punk Corner, on KJ Epic Radio, every Thursday from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m.
There's no shortage of action going on with our partner over at betonline.ag. The sports world is slowly making its way back with the NBA announcing its return in late July. But right now, UFC, boxing, NASCAR, and international soccer all have resumed play, and BetOnline has the best odds for their upcoming games and matches. Need more? BetOnline has simulated NBA, NFL, UFC live every day for our devoted gamblers, and check it out. BetOnline also offers hundreds of casino games, poker tournaments, and the best props in the business. Visit BetOnline on your computer or mobile device and join now to receive your welcome bonus. That's BetOnline.ag, your online wagering experts.
Let's go!
Is a beautiful day for a ball game. This is the Curator here with another edition of Curator's Chronicles. I know you wait all week to hear this stuff.
They do.
Especially if you're listening in Dead Horse, Alaska. We're pretty big out there, I heard.
Chris is big in Dead Horse.
Pretty big. All right. We might need to do a podcast from Dead Horse, Alaska. I'm willing to pay the Southwest.
Damn, I'm down.
$4.
Hey, can we do it like next summer when it's like 100 and something degrees out here?
And it doesn't get dark over there, right? In the summer, like the sun stays up all year long, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I know at some point it does.
We'll get the answer there,
Duncan.
Duncan, let us know. Answers.
Duncan Healy,
he's our source.
Up. Can we stay at your place? All right. This edition with the Curator's Chronicles, we bring you the mascot edition. Do the Angels have a mascot? We're going to explore that right now. Daniel, you're a little bit younger than us, so you might not remember these characters that used to be paraded around the Big A. But
the Big Ed.
The Big Ed. But it was the Big A when some of these mascots were still there.
Yeah.
Right? And then the Big Ed.
Yeah.
That's another topic for another day. Thank you. Thank you for bringing that to my attention. But the Angels had some mascots not until about the mid-90s.
I would say like 94, 95. Yeah.
The Angels introduced two mascots, being that we are California, and California, the California Bear is the state mascot. They introduced Southpaw and Rigby.
Yes.
Two bears that used to go around the stadium wearing the California Angels jersey, the CA.
Well, Southpaw makes sense because lefties are called Southpaws, but Rigby, what do you think?
Rigby, I would say it's an homage to maybe Bill Rigney, maybe.
Oh, Rigney.
No, it's Rigby.
Rigby.
Right?
Sounds like Rigby.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean,
you know what? We need to deep dive. Or we need to dive deeper there.
Tom DeLino needs to.
Yeah, we need to get on that. That's going to be a follow-up Chronicles. But a few years later, like Johnny said, at the Big Ed, they unveiled two more California Bears because we're getting super creative here.
What's the other one's name? Switch? Twitch?
We have Scoop.
Scoop.
First base.
Yeah.
The Scoop. And Clutch.
Clutch.
Clutch hitter. That was Clutch right there. So, at the swap meet, I brought in a little, it's like a beanbag wannabe, like Tide baby. Thing's mint, though. This thing is mint. It's got the tag on it still. So if you're watching Facebook Live, I'm trying to get it over there. There we go. He's got a halo on. He's got wings. It's like a disaster.
And Johnny's favorite uniform.
I can't even get it on the screen right there. There we go. John's digging this right here. But
you can just see it on his face.
So they used to go around the stadium and all that. But if you remember a few years ago, I want to say like 7 years ago when the Harlem Shake was all the
rage.
They had a Harlem Shake edition where they had Angels employees do it. But then when they did the, you know, like when you go from the, then you do like the Harlem Shake, they had the mascot heads on some of the,
and they had their heads.
So that's,
what I'm saying is deep down in the archives, deep in the basement, these mascot heads exist.
Ooh.
And we need to put them on.
What else is down there?
Kind of, my
trash can is down there.
Kind of like the 66ers.
That shovel is down there.
The 66ers?
Yeah.
And well, I
feel like we're okay to say it now because he no longer works for the franchise.
Yeah, that's where I was getting at.
We had a friend with the 66ers baseball team who took Daniel and I deep down in the archives, and man, they had all the spirit bug
for years.
You know, the mascot heads. They had Paw Patrol. Man, it was insane.
Any kind of giveaway where they had people sign up or dress up.
Yeah,
they were ready to go. They had all that stuff down there,
dude. So, what do you think is down deep down in the Angels basement of Anaheim Stadium or whatever it's called now, Angel Stadium? You think that shovel's down there? You think the Holy Halo Grail is down there?
Yeah, the Halo Grail's down there. I mean, like, I didn't expect the mascot heads to still be around.
No, yeah. Why? I mean, yeah.
And then when I saw that moment, I was just, like, energized. But then, nothing since. Oh, and then my follow-up to all this is the Rally Monkey a true mascot?
Nah.
No.
He's not present. He's not present. He's been absent.
He's not walking around the stadium like he has his
little
vignette.
He showed up to FanFest like mid-2000s, and he signed baseballs with a Sharpie.
Did he really?
Yeah, he did.
Scribbles or what?
Scribbles. Each autograph was a different form.
Right.
Yeah. So...
Hard to authenticate that one, huh?
That's pretty cool. I need that ball. But,
need a ball like that.
But yeah, I've seen pictures of him signing. Probably the rarest autograph in Angels baseball
history.
You would
think, right?
Yeah, but is he a real mascot? No.
Would you want a guy to see a mascot now?
Nah.
Nah, I don't know.
I think that's passe. Unless you're
mascots
like a Philly,
cool.
Philly
like
fanatic.
Philly fanatic, top mascots.
You know, Mr. Met.
It's like either you're really, I feel like with mascots, either you're really good
San
or you're
Diego
horrible.
Chicken.
You know what I mean? There's not like a mascot where
it's
like,
I do like
okay.
Bernie at the 66ers.
Right? The San Diego Chicken that you can see
legendary.
Right over
legendary
Daniel's shoulder over there behind all those bobbleheads back there. But yeah, I think if you're not like a standout mascot, I don't think people really look at mascots anymore. Not even kids. Like, they're too busy on their phones at games. Like, little kids who aren't paying attention.
Now this is turning into like a back in my day kind of stuff.
Well, no, but I'm saying, like, if you go to a baseball game, you go there, watch a game, but let's face it, there's kids that go that don't, they're there because dad takes them and they don't want to be there. They're preoccupied with the phone, where back in the day, there was no phone, so teams had to entertain these kids who weren't, you know, who are little kids, aren't really, don't know what's happening in baseball. Right. Oh, look at the mascot, look at the mascot. I think now it's kind of like a passe kind of thing.
Do you think opposing players come to the Big A
and fear
like,
the rally
nah,
monkey?
Not that rally monkey.
Don't bring it out.
I
no,
think there used to be
screwed.
A little rally monkey effect when they play the video, yeah. Like years ago. I'm talking
for players?
15 years ago, yeah.
Maybe fans, but
I felt like you get into their head a little bit.
Only if there was a real monkey that came out and started jacking stuff up.
Meh.
But anyways, the Angels did fire the guy that created the rally monkey about 3 or 4 years ago. So,
but yeah, they still use the crap out of it.
Yeah. And they made a ton of money off it and all that.
Is it? I know we talked about this before, like off air, but is it time for the retire the rally monkey?
I thought he was already, to be honest.
I mean, he was still there, obviously, last year when people were at games. I don't know if necessarily if they're still busting out the rally monkey now.
Do they even sell rally monkeys in the stores anymore? Do they still sell them?
They're going to milk that to the day. The rally, as long as the train calling all the Angel song plays, the rally monkey will be there.
Well, you know what? The rally monkey ain't even an Angel thing. I've seen the Dodgers have rally monkeys and all teams have them, so whatever.
Meh. You know, it's kind of like Trout Net and Rally Net, you know?
Yeah.
Anyways.
Dang.
Niche. It was niche.
I digress.
niche.
Yeah. Anyways, thank you for listening to another edition of The Curator's Chronicles.
Let's go!
And that was another edition of the Curator's Chronicles, everyone's favorite segment of the show.
For sure.
Let's get into some emails that we got. Daniel, you want to start us off with some here?
Yeah, we got a couple emails this week. And again, you can always reach us at allangelspodcast@gmail.com, allangelspodcast@gmail.com. One thing I want to mention before we get to emails is that as we record this, breaking news has happened, and we kind of talked about it literally like 10 minutes too early. But that player to be named later for the Reds in the Brian Goodwin deal has come down. His name is Jose Sandoval, 20-year-old left-handed pitcher.
Sandoval.
He has been in the rookie level of the Cincinnati Reds, so obviously he's not in the top prospect list, not in the top 15 or top 20 or anything like that. So, but really young, again, 20 years old. So, another pitcher, like I mentioned, Jeff Fletcher said in a tweet pretty much right after the Brian Goodwin trade happened. So, yeah, so that's another. We got two lefties out of the Brian Goodwin trade.
So, we didn't get Joey Votto?
No.
I thought
straight up Goodwin for Votto.
Yeah.
What is going on? What is wrong with these guys?
Yeah.
No. This is good. This is good just because it adds pitching.
Well, let's get to this question real quick before we talk too much about the trade deadline. This was from Rob Lastings. He says, "Hi guys, glad to see the Angels move around some guys that would eventually just walk away. Lestella for a good with upside player." I'm guessing he meant like a player with good upside is good. Castro to pick up bullpen help, good move, and Goodwin for a lefty, I don't mind it. So again, Goodwin now for two lefties. So he kind of mentions everything that kind of happened. I gave you the new information about another pitcher they picked up. So kind of overall in the deadline, how do you feel the Angels did?
I think they did all right. I mean, again, I'm looking at it through the I'm taking off the Homer glasses, the Halo Haunt glasses, and I'm being realistic where nobody the Angels have is going to bring in anyone who is going to make an impact right away.
Right.
Unfortunately, I mean, that's
unless,
just the way
unless
it is.
Unless they gave up
Adele and Marsh and,
even
Jeremiah Jackson.
Well, the one thing, too,
like
I
that.
Was wondering was
even how, then, I don't even know if
that, you know, Bundy's name was floating around,
right?
But you had a figure Bundy would have got you back a pitching, high pitching prospect just because Bundy has another year of control. Why trade a pitcher unless you're going to get another pitcher with. Mm-hmm. With more control behind him. So I never thought that was likely.
Right.
But like people like that, a Bundy, like you mentioned, Joe Marsh, people like that were going to get you something like that. But I just, you know, for what they gave up, I think they did fine.
Yeah. I mean, these guys that they were traded away weren't going to demand high, like anything high. I think Goodwin for Packy Naughton, I think that was that was about as best as you were going to get from a Goodwin type guy. Jason Castro, last year of his deal, why would the Padres want to give up somebody that is like high on their prospect list for a guy who's a free agent at the end
of
the year?
But the Padres were dealing.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Oh,
they
man,
got like nine new players.
Right. And this other guy that they got, this rookie guy you just talked about, the Sandoval kid, hey, this is a guy who, in essence, now is going to be an Angels farm guy. He's going to be developed for him. By the Angels.
I mean, he's a throw-in guy.
Yeah.
So
anything that comes out of him.
Anything can happen. Obviously, Packy, he's the main headliner that you expect something out of. When you get someone like this, again, 20 years old, Jose, left-handed pitcher, it's hard to say at this point what he can be or can't be. Maybe he is a Cy Young winner down the road, or maybe he is a guy that tops out at AAA and doesn't break the major league roster. You just don't know at this stage, but at least they're getting those pitchers in the system to hopefully develop them and hopefully do turn into some kind of a contributor.
Right.
Chris, how'd you feel about the, do you have any thoughts about the trade deadline at all, or did you just kind of, did you like it? Did you like getting rid of some players?
I'm just glad that Hobie is now with Packy. So we got a lot of ease going on.
Again, Hobie Milner, yeah, though, did go on the IL sometime this week. So Chris's favorite player.
I do. I was gifted a Hobie Milner USA team.
Milner.
Okay.
Hobie. Anyways, USA team autographed certified card by John. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
There you go.
Thanks for listening to my TED Talk.
I like the trades. I like the trades. You weren't going to be like the Padres and get Clevinger.
No.
Their farm system is so deep that their, 12th guy would probably be like a top five guy.
But you got to remember, they haven't been in the playoffs since 2006.
And now it looks like they're going to make a run, which is cool. Like, I'm glad. I joke with these guys, San Diego's my NL team. But, it's cool to see another team in California do good besides the Dodgers.
You're that guy, huh?
I'm that guy. Yeah, everyone's kind of cringing over here, but I don't care. I got family in San Diego. They'll be my NL team.
I have my cousins are big Padres fans. I've been a Padres game since I was little. Jack Murphy. I have no hate for the Padres. They're not my NL team or anything, but no hate for the Padres whatsoever. It's good to see them kind of make moves, and it's always good to see them kind of, they're like the Cubs, where they're like the lovable losers kind of, you know what I mean? Where they haven't really ever done anything, but you want to see them, succeed. So
Is this the year they do it?
No.
A shortened season?
You never know.
They make the playoffs. Like you said.
Especially, I listen to a lot of sports radio, sports podcasts. One show that I've been listening to, obviously I've been listening to these guys since, I think I was like a freshman in high school, Mason in Ireland on ESPN. And they were talking about this year's MLB playoffs where, this could be the Dodgers, as good as they are. That first round is, you only got to win two games. And the Dodgers can get eliminated because just like that.
It wouldn't shock me. Like, if you were to say, hey, Clevinger outpitched Kershaw.
Exactly.
Or Clevinger outpitched Walker.
Or the San Diego offense just happened to outslug the Dodgers offense.
Like, that doesn't surprise me. That wouldn't surprise me at all. So, I think, especially with the expanded playoffs and the fact that the top two teams get into it, I think that makes it San Diego's automatic. They're not going to have to deal with that wild card.
Right. They're not going to have to play.
So, anything can happen in the playoffs. I mean, you get hot at the right time. You get a pitcher or a couple pitchers that just happen to find their groove at that time. And the funny part is, too, with the shortened season and the way the pitch counts are, and you can probably see that with a lot of pitchers, towards the end of the 60-game season, that's when they're, now normally getting used to the season, and then maybe now they're finding the groove, and that's going to be the playoffs.
Right, exactly. So, interesting. The Padres, man,
it's possible.
Look what happened to the Nationals last year. Going into the All-Star break, they were dead last. They were dead last in their division, and they won the World Series, turned it around. So, you got to catch fire.
Yeah, I mean, good
catch
for them. They're probably the trade deadline winners. There's other teams that made little small moves, but kind of like what we mentioned, besides that Clevinger trade to San Diego, there wasn't really another big name that got moved to the trade deadline. Like, most of it was smaller guys, kind of bench guys or role player guys, if you will. Like, Lance Lynn didn't get moved, even though a lot of people were talking that he might. Obviously, Simmons didn't get moved. A lot of people said he might. So, it was a good trade deadline, considering it was a 60-game season, and we didn't know what the heck was going to happen. But, that's over. So now, literally, this is the team we have. We are in September. We are down the last month, and without September call-ups, I don't know if we're going to be able to – if we're going to see some of these younger guys as much as people want.
Yeah. We're like 12 and something right now. It's ridiculous. Hey,
this will get hurt long term.
Yeah.
Don't blow an ACL and be out for Tommy John and miss all of next season.
Just get through the season. Let's just get through the season. 2021, baby.
There you go. This next one is from Duncan Healy.
Oh.
Shout out. Again, we need to know, A, when it's all dark and when it's all light in Alaska, and B, hey, can we hang out? Do you have a place we can stay?
My dad lived in Alaska. Just a little side note.
Oh, wow.
Wow, okay.
Anchorage?
I don't know. I think it's more like Juneau.
Juneau?
Okay. Maybe.
No, I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't
Juneau?
Know. I don't know.
No, okay. All right.
All right, guys. They'll be here all week. Thank you very much. Anyways.
Dang, that was good. That wasn't even planned. Jeez, guys.
You guys are the next.
We don't have a sound effect for that?
You guys.
Come on.
Top symbol.
All right. Why do we need it when you guys have you guys?
All right, thank you.
All right, no problem.
What did Duncan say?
Duncan said, "Good God, we are bad." Or are we bad with like three A's, four A's? Well, heck, at least we had the curator back on Sunday. So there you go. Duncan. There is your shout out. You say no one emails us and that's all fake. There you go. You have an email right here from Duncan Haley that appreciates you here on Sunday.
There's some positives, right?
There you go, yeah.
Hey, Duncan, thank you.
Duncan, yeah. The star of AM 830 Social Media Day last week.
Was he?
Well, no, it was like 2 weeks ago like Social Media Day. They had like shout out to Alaska. And Johnny and I both looked at each other like, or not, you looked at each other, but
text
each other like almost at the same time. That has to be Duncan.
Yeah, Duncan, start clearing out that guest room because we're heading up, man.
Duncan, do you guys have does he have, what are those rooms called where like it's just a room and then they have the hole in the ground to fish in?
Like an ice house?
Well, I don't know if it's an igloo,
it's
but
like they go ice fishing.
Yeah, they go. It's just a house not a house, it's just like a room this size and there's a hole in it.
It's smaller than this room. It's smaller.
I saw it in Grumpier Old Men.
There you go.
Two,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Maybe one.
Grumpier Old Men.
Yeah.
That's Chris and John.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, exactly. Pretty much.
Right. So the next question is from Ruben, and this one actually was a good question. This is kind of Angels related, but also baseball related. He says, David Ortiz, Derek Jeter, Chipper Jones, Jim Thome, and even Torrey Hunter all had steady but still progressive, productive declines later in their years. Albert Pujols has had a historically bad one since signing with the Angels. Why is Albert declines this bad? Nelson Cruz is also another name that comes to mind.
HGH.
Wow, okay.
What?
So I think
did you cough?
Yeah, really. I think the easiest thing to say, I mean, and probably the most boring part to say is like, oh, everyone's body's different, everyone ages different. But I think if you honestly throw out Derek Jeter, Chipper Jones, Torrey Hunter, because this is the body type, they're smaller dudes. Obviously, your Ortiz, your Alberts, your Jim Thome's are bigger guys, so obviously they're gonna take a bigger you know, Albert's biggest thing has been his injuries later in his career.
Yeah,
so,
especially a lower body.
Weight. It's a weight issue. So that's why I'm saying, like, Derek Jeter never got huge. Chipper never got huge. Torrey Hunter never got huge. But if you look at their numbers, and I kind of found this interesting, you look at David Ortiz and Albert Pujols, they're kind of, I think they're a pretty good mirror because they both started when they're 21. They both went until, you know, Albert's like 40 right now-ish. We don't know for sure.
There's a common denominator that you're saying with David Ortiz and Albert Pujols. They're from the Dominican.
Right.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to get to.
And I know Albert Pujols was quite litigious when it came to Jack Clark.
Right,
making some claims and allegations, uh-huh, allegedly. Right. And we're not going to get into all that because we don't want to get sued because we have no money here. They're both from the Dominican, and as we know, in the Dominican, we fudge the ages and all that.
Oh, yeah,
that.
Like,
so,
I talked to a...
So, yeah,
I talked to a buddy.
It's possible.
I talked to a couple people, and one of the responses I got was, oh, yeah, considering that Albert's really 42. I mean, like...
42? That's generous.
But anyways, you look at the beginning of their careers, David Ortiz and Albert Pujols, from the year they turned 21 to the year they turned 30, Albert played in 1,558 games. David Ortiz only played in 1,043 games. So you're talking about a usage of like 3+ seasons.
And you got to remember that David has always been a DH.
Right.
So
yeah, exactly.
So wear and tear.
But you look at the season, this, again, 21 to 30, in that time frame for both guys, I mean, you're talking about 3+ seasons that Albert played more than David, and also over 1,400 at bats more. So I think more of it has to do with just the wear and tear. Like,
yeah,
you drive a car. If I mean, me and Johnny and I get a same car, same year, same everything, but I drive it like a maniac for the first 5 years of that car, and John just trying to drive it back and forth to work. No big deal. Obviously, my car is going to wear down a lot faster than his. I think it's the same thing with David and Albert. It's just, you know, David or Albert was having such a good year his first handful of years out, and just, You know, you can see it in the games played. It's just he got worn out.
Have you seen his high school yearbook?
Yeah, he looked like he was 35.
He looked older than me, and I'm 33.
We'll just leave it right there for you.
That, and then, you know, David Ortiz did get mentioned a little bit with steroid use and HGH use or whatever, but
allegedly.
He got named in it. Nothing was ever proven, so take that for what it's worth. But I guess that can be another, you know, I mean, let's be honest, like, Would it surprise either one of you if 10 years from now, 20 years from now, something comes out and says, oh, yeah, these guys were playing on this. Back then, it wasn't illegal because we didn't know about it, but now it is. I mean...
No, of course not.
Yeah, exactly. No. Like, no. That kind of stuff seems to always be ahead of the drug testers. So, not saying anyone used or anything like that, but, I mean, you just never know.
To get some Frank Thomas Nugenix. Those commercials are enticing, man.
Well, I mean, you know...
Free trial.
Everyone comes up to him and, you know, they don't know him as Frank Thomas, the baseball player. They know him as Frank Thomas, the eugenics guy.
Yeah. So, I do. You know. I mean, Frank Thomas who? I don't know. The big what?
The big eugenics. No, yeah. I don't know, man. It's hard to point to anything in particular with Albert. It could be a bunch of series of things. Age.
Plantar fasciitis.
Well, that's the thing, too. Like, turf toe. I don't remember, but I don't know if any of you guys remember. Do you remember David Ortiz ever really having an injury stretch where, like, Albert, like, 1 year was his foot, the next year was, like, his knee, and then, like, the third or fourth year after that was, like, okay, finally has an offseason to fully train, but yet, you know, something happens later in the season?
No, I mean, I don't think so, but then again, I mean, he always primarily a DH, so I don't think he was prone to injury
right.
as
Albert
much.
Albert spending a lot of, most of his... years, yeah, especially his young years in St. Louis, he couldn't DH. He's playing first base, and even now
he was even playing third base when he first came into the league.
Yeah,
like,
so like even
two
now,
3 years he was a third baseman.
Ohtani, you know, obviously he's playing more first base than David ever did later in the year. So how much did that take out of him? So,
right.
I mean, it's a good question to talk about, but I just think, man, you look at those first, like I said, what, 9 years that they played, both guys played, it is a world difference. And I just think, you know, the tire didn't have as much tread now as, you know, David Ortiz later in his career. And then who knows, if David plays another 2 or 3 years, maybe he does have that same decline. I mean, I don't know, but
yeah.
You know, it's hard to play baseball when you're 50 years old. So anyways, just saying.
That's what he's saying.
He is a hint, wink, wink at something. Yeah. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. So anyway, I think that's it for the emails, right?
Yeah, that was the last email.
All right. So anyway, guys, again, if you guys want to email us, you can always email us at allangelspodcast@gmail.com. That's allangelspodcast@gmail.com. On our social medias, Instagram and Twitter, it's Halo_Haven. Facebook, Halo Haven. There's a fan page and there's a like page. There's a lot of interaction there as well. So if you guys are on Facebook... obviously the Facebook Live that we're on right now as well, with
right.
the cool graphics with the
Chris, the producer
to the stars over there, Chris Security Johnson,
Chris
doing it up,
Johnson.
And Chris the producer Johnson, yeah. But before we even sign off again, if you're on Facebook Live, you can see Daniel's wearing the Tyler Skaggs Foundation, you know, what do you call them? Dry fit
t-shirt. Yep.
Dry fit. You guys want to purchase one of those? You guys can head over to TylerSkaggsFoundation.org. The money, the proceeds go to the Tyler Skaggs Foundation to help the inner city keep Tyler Skaggs' name alive. If you guys don't know, we're doing a what do you call it? A dry. What would you call
strike
it?
Strikeout-a-thon? I don't know.
Strikeout. Yeah. Every strikeout that the Angels pitchers tally up, we're gonna donate $1 to the Tyler Skaggs Foundation. And if you guys want to keep up with that, follow us on, you know, our social media, and we update it about once a week, right?
Yeah. So I mean, right now, I mean, Johnny updated it on Monday, and again, we're recording this Wednesday night. But right now, we're at $299. So obviously, I think the game's going on right now. So I'm sure at some point during the game, they got to $300. So yeah, it's just a way for us to kind of give back a little bit, and we found a good organization to do it with, and really looking forward for the payoff for this, and helping people out there again in the community, helping Tyler's name continue to grow and stay present, stay relevant, you know, with everything that his wife and his mom are doing with the Tyler Skaggs Foundation.
Right. So with that being said, we have these two games right here against San Diego. Just before we leave, I have this written down. I didn't mention it. None of us mentioned it yet. But today that we're playing the Padres as we're recording. Tomorrow they play the Padres in Houston for 4, then Texas for 3. So Yeah, I mean, it's not getting any easier. Houston, obviously the Padres are red hot right now, and then Houston's just Houston, and everybody's better than us, so Texas isn't easy either.
Yeah,
so.
Texas isn't going to be an easy walk in the park, but again, maybe we start seeing some of these young guys get more at-bats, gaining more playing time, get Franklin
Yeah, I'm interested to see what he can do in this.
He now finally dressed out with the team today. Right. So, we'll see what happens. But, yeah, I just, we'll still be here, though. We're not going to go anywhere.
Yeah, we'll be here. We'll be here Sunday.
Some other podcasts have disappeared. I don't know where they went. But
Never show up, so or never happen. So, anyway, with that being said, we'll be here Sunday and then again Wednesday, and then we're going to keep doing our thing. So, I am Johnny Maggs.
I am Daniel Garcia.
Oh, yeah, that's me. I am Chris, the Curator Johnson.
And you're listening to another edition of the All Angels Podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.